Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Sunday. This is Brother Nate with Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry, thanking God for all you that are listening today. And once again, may the Lord bless you, your family, and your loved ones in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to shout out to those of you that are listening to the broadcast here in the United States. I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry. And for those of you in the country of Spain that is listening, I've seen it on the graphics, I want to welcome you also to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry. And for any of y'all that's listening out there, if you have any questions, any comments, any prayer requests, call us at the phone number 515-605-9887. That is 515-605-9887. And if you, once again, if you have any prayer requests, we will pray for you. Any comment, I ask that if you have any comment, to limit it to a particular time, amen, or any questions you have in Christ to answer those questions, amen. Once again, the phone number is 515-605-9887. Glory be to God. And tonight is, once again, the Full Gospel Message with Brother Eddie Lee. And as we wait for my brother to come on to head this off, once again, I want to thank the Lord for this day and this time that the Lord has blessed us, that we may be able to give this word, the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, to all of you that's listening. We thank God for your prayers, those who have been praying for us. I ask that you continue to pray for us as we deliver the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, his word. Glory be to God. Amen. And once again, I want to say, put your trust in the Lord Jesus. Keep your eyes focused on him, and he will bring you through. I know we're hearing of the war. Some of you are getting the reports of the war with Russia and Ukraine. But you know, the word of God said these things will happen and will come. But also he told us in the word, fear not. And that's a very strong and good statement from the Lord. He said, don't fear. Don't be troubled. Okay? You know, when the Lord warns you of things that's going to happen, especially those that are not good, but at the same time tell you to be not troubled, then that means that you can make it. You can survive it. You can come through it. Amen? Sometimes we hear things and we think that, you know, we don't have a chance of making it. But the Lord assures us that with your faith in him, you can. Amen. The beautiful thing about the Lord is that when you trust and believe in him, he will stand you in holy places. Amen. Even though trouble and destruction may be going on around you, he will stand you in that holy place. Amen. He will have you in a place of safety, in a consecrated place. Amen. Where you'll be kept safe. You know, it's like Noah, when that his place of safety that the Lord had him to build was the ark, okay? So he was not snatched off the earth. There was destruction going on around him, but it did not touch him, okay? Because why? He was in a place of safety, amen? And the Lord will point out place of safety for you to be. The first place of safety, number one, is the spiritual place. You have a spiritual, and there are natural places that God will point out. The spiritual places that you have to be in Christ. In Christ, in him, staying in him, okay? Because remember, he said, if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you should ask what you will. So we got to remain in Christ. We can't talk about being in Christ and then we're going out living any kind of way, okay? We got to be in him. That's the spiritual protection, spiritual place of the Lord. And then there are times where there are places, you know, you see where God will point you out to go where he will protect you in particular places. It will be places consecrated unto him, amen? Moses was told where the ground he stepped there was holy ground, okay? So the Lord definitely will stand you in holy or consecrated places, okay? Like I said, trouble can be going on all around you, but the Lord will keep you, okay? Amen. So remember that word, okay? He is a keeper, okay? Our Lord Jesus Christ is a keeper. So keep that in mind. Amen. And keep your faith, your eyes toward him. And remember that Jesus is the author and finisher of thy faith. So he's the one, he's the originator. He started it and he will complete it. if we allow him to. Now, that's another key, okay? Because we have to be willing to submit to what Jesus is doing, okay? If we're not willing to do that, then he cannot fully go on with it. Well, you say, why is that? He is God, yeah, but he's not going to violate his own word, and that's concerning your free will. You have to freely let him, okay? If you don't let him, he's not going to be able to do it, okay? Not because of lack of ability, but because he's not going to transgress his own word, amen? That's just like, you know, people say, well, the Lord can do anything. I said, well, yeah, he can do anything within his will, the will and the confines of his word. And by power, by ability, yes, he could, but by his word, no. I put it that way, by his word, you know, overall, he can't do just anything. And what I mean by that, he can't violate your free will, okay, because that's against his word. So we got to remember, okay, you know, Jesus loved all men, okay? And some of you say, well, why is that they still go to hell? Well, that's their choosing. Remember, his word is word, his word. He cannot, remember this one thing, Jesus cannot go back on his word. If he did that, then you wouldn't be able to trust him for anything, because you'd be looking like, well, man, if he said one thing and went back on his word, how can I trust him on the other thing? So if anybody, any being, spoke his word and really kept it all the time, it's him. We have failed. Many times we have given people our word, and we went back on it, okay? We're subject to that. I'm not okaying it, but we're subject to that. Jesus is the only one that who he speaks his word, he keeps it, okay? He keeps it. The only thing that will cause some things not to come to pass that he's spoken unto you is your unbelief. This is why the enemy works so hard to get us in unbelief, because even though he can hinder some things, he can't stop it, but he knows what can stop it, and that if you are in unbelief. So this is why he works so hard to get us in unbelief. He works so hard to get us focused on our circumstances, our problems, our situation, okay? Because why? He knows that if he gets you in unbelief, that'll hope to stop the blessing, okay? Because remember, faith is what moves the hand of God. Faith is what moves God complete. You know, when you have faith in him, that moves God, okay? Unbelief causes him to stop in his tracks. He wants to do. See, you know, sometimes I think we have a question that shouldn't be a question that is answered through the word. Is it his will? Is it his will? Well, the word answers if it's the will about a particular thing. So having said that, I'm going to pass my brother on here. God bless, brother.
Shalom, brother. God's time and God's season, God's moment in history. We are alive. Assume predestination that God has planned that we should be alive at this moment of time in his planning. So we acknowledge the Lord Jesus, his death, burial, resurrection, his blood covenant, and all the saints and all the people far and near, even to Israel and the lost tribes of Israel. So, Lord Jesus, we acknowledge and bring to you our brothers and sisters that are in Ukraine, and not only the covenant believers there in Ukraine, but also all of the people which are precious in your sight. During the time of their great sorrow and grief and disasters and war has come upon them, we ask to you, Lord, that you remember your covenant with your people that made a covenant to you by blood and by sacrifice and by the Lamb of God, that you look upon them during the time of disaster and sorrow, and all of them, that you might visit them, comfort them, console them, help them, and let deliverance come to them, their nation, and to them. We thank you for the faith of the faithful that are in Ukraine, and even the faithful in Russia who are not standing with their government, their wicked communist government. They're not standing with them. But many of the people in Russia, there are still people that are looking to you, Lord Jesus, the faithful witness. Remember them. Remember the Israel that among both, that you promise to remember your Israelite promise unto Abraham wherever they be. Now, Lord Jesus, let your name be glorified and your arm be made bare. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, brother, what were you saying?
Well, I was just saying that, you know, sometimes we ask questions concerning the will of God when the word of God has the answer. And, you know, we ask, you know, you have some believers ask, well, is it the Lord's will to heal me? Is, you know, many simple things that is in the word of God that we don't take time out to search. And we ask these questions when the word of God has the answers.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's, I think that many people are rather have somebody do the work and searching and praying, fasting for them, brother, and do the research and tell them. I think they just want to lay back and let someone else do all, you know, not that they're bad people, but it's a human, sometimes their fatality and liking is that just like for somebody else to do it for them. It's easier, more comfortable for you to do it for me. And many people, you know, when they're buying something precious on the earth, whether it's property, things, or business, they'll search out the document in the background of things to see about the property or the things. But concerning spiritual things in the Bible, concerning what you said, one of the areas of what you call healing and being made whole, they are very slack of researching or searching or studying what are the promises of the living God concerning their need or their problem. They'd rather, that's why many of them would totally rely on the preacher. Now, this is a great failing of the body of Christ to try to totally rely on the preacher, the minister, the pastor. The pastor has a responsibility, of course, and sharing and giving and building it. But you can't rely totally upon the preacher to do what God command you to do. And this is the way with many of the children of God and human family, relying too much upon someone else. I don't know how accurate that is, but I know it has some accuracy because we are easy to let somebody else do the work for us.
Brother, I strongly agree with you. Sad to say, but you're definitely right. I think that, you know, many people, as you said, become overly dependent, and the problem is balance. And you know, you come in overly dependent on the pastor. You won't search up anything. You just want to whatever he says and all that. Like, he's not subject to miss it. And but I say to some pastors that, you know, if you come across people like that, you better be careful because you better never be wrong. That's all I can say. Better never be wrong.
You know, the problem about that, the people that have responsibility in ministry, whether they be high or low, apostle down to a lowly servant in the church who serve in a lower capacity, many people are not forgiving for people in leadership to make mistakes. Now they can make mistakes. That's okay. They can make mistakes, but they don't always have the same compassion in leadership. Oh, you made a mistake. You're in error. Oh, no. You're infallible like the Pope. You know, so they have a different view about leadership, or people have the responsibility at charge. They don't think they can make a mistake or do make a mistake, or they're less forgiving. But now when they make all the mistakes, they expect themselves, well, you know, I'm not perfect. You know, the favorite word of people for themselves, generally, in every walk of life, nobody's perfect. I think they need to remove that book from the English language, brother. No one's perfect. I think we need to cut that out, blurt it out, so nobody can go to that. They can't go there, okay? Okay?
Yeah.
So we need to remove that word from the English vocabulary. No one's perfect, you know. Now, they're not reading the Bible because they would know what that word perfect means. It has a double meaning. Human comprehension of perfect, and what do the Lord said from the scripture side, what do he say about perfection? It's two different meanings. So when they use that word as a backup excuse, you hear it all the time on the radio, the TV, the program. They use that, everybody. Nobody's perfect. Yeah, that's true that nobody's fault free. Nobody is error-free, but you can be perfect in the sight of God. Now, they don't understand what that means when you say you're perfect in the sight of God. Not perfect in the sight of man, necessarily, but in the sight of God. How do he measure perfection? This is why you said people don't search the scripture about things. They don't deeply search and seek the scriptures. They rely too much. You think they rely too much on people in leadership, brother? You think they rely too much?
Oh, yeah, I really do. Amen. And God bless you, Sister Anderson. How you doing today?
I'm blessed of the Lord, brother. Blessed. God bless you.
Amen. Yeah, brother, I do agree that it has gone to a level now that sometimes, as you say, was mind-boggling. But, yeah, I agree that, with many people sometimes that is a sign, when one doesn't want to get in the word themselves, but they 100% dependent on you.
Yeah, all of us in human race and people, people are looking out for generally something that's more easy and more convenient for them. If you do this for me, then that's why they want you to do all this for them. Then that's why, it's just like sometimes in the children, sometimes you do more for them. They want you to do everything for them. And I asked them, do you want me to chew the food for you? Do you want me to chew the food for you after I cook it? You want me to chew it for you and then do it for you? So sometimes people get into that error of being just totally relying, went to Mr. Lazy Bug and just build a house, a lazy bug. And sometimes that happens. So we have to stop them at the gate and say, not so. This is why Jesus will not do everything for us. I hear this saying a lot on the radio and TV. God is in charge. That means he's going to do everything for you. When you say that, you have to validate that and explain that statement you just made so people don't get the idea they don't have to do nothing because God is in charge. That means he's responsible and he's going to do everything. That is not true. That is not accurate. That sounds good now.
Mm-hmm.
It relieves you of all responsibility. Because you hear people say, don't worry about it, sister, God is in charge. That's not really true. You need to explain that to people. I mean, you need to tell them what their responsibility and what God said he is responsible for. But most people just jump out there, don't worry about it, sister, you ain't got to worry, but you ain't got to do nothing. Because God is in charge. That means you ain't got to do nothing. Brother, you can drive down the car. You don't have to go anywhere. You don't have to look. You don't have to see. You don't have to do nothing, brother. Just let the car and open your car. Look how I take a nap. I know they're trying to make cars like that, but that ain't going to work too good. But, I mean, just lay down and do nothing. I don't have to study. Now kids don't even have to study like they used to. Use their brain. Their ability. It's getting to a place where people think, they hear this message, God is in charge. Surely God is sovereign and all-powerful, all-knowing and doing. But is he responsible for everything that goes on in this world? No. Is he responsible for whatever thing happened in your life? No. Is he responsible for every choice and decision you make? No. And this is where people are misapplying. That's why they want someone to do it a lot of times. All of us have come some area in life we want somebody to do it more for us. You carry
Amen.
The biggest load. You carry the biggest hair. That's a human fallacy. So here we are. Mm-hmm. On this day, we talk about Jesus did it all for us. Now, that's true, but you need to explain it, what it means when Jesus did it all for us. He paid the total price for our redemption. Now, but you need to explain
Amen.
That now. You need to get some understanding about that, because they'll get to thinking that when Jesus did it all, I don't have to fast, I don't have to pray, I don't have to submit, I don't have to get up, because Jesus done did it all. Okay? Jesus did it all when he bought and paid for you and purchased you with his own life. That is true. No one was able to do that. He did it completely and bought complete salvation. You bear your sins, your iniquity, your sickness, and your disease. Now, let's see what your responsibility in response to that. Well, he done did it all, but I don't have to do nothing. He done did it all, brother. He done did it all. It sounds good. And you can shout and jump. And as you get through shouting and jumping, you better go look in that word and look at that scripture as you get feeling good, because the devil's going to land on you with two blocks on your head, and you're going to find
Amen.
Out you're going to have to do something to get him off. Did I offend somebody like I usually do?
Pretty much.
Now, I believe, brother, that if you're a believer in Christ and a preacher, and you're trying not to offend anybody, and our heart desire is not to hurt or wound anybody, of course. That's the right spirit. But if you got the idea that you're not going to offend somebody when you preach and teach and live the gospel, you're living in a fairyland. Whoever it is, they're living in a fairyland. You need to get your head around out of fairyland, brother, because there's no way you're not going to. Jesus himself offended many people in his day.
Yeah.
People need to understand that. Think that everybody just love Jesus when they say, Jesus, this is the Messiah, Savior. Like, oh, my goodness. But it was not like that. There were many people who rejected him. You get that?
Yeah.
I said there was quite a few people rejected him. So when people reject you for the truth and righteousness sake, don't get so upset.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
Why are you getting so upset? If you, for righteousness sake and for the love of God and the grace of God and the Spirit of God, why do you think that everybody is going to receive you or believe you or accept you? Then you must be more than Jesus. All I can say, you must be much more than Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, you must think that you are better than Jesus, than the apostles. You know, so let's get these fairy tales notions. We need to search the scriptures and see the real gospel, the real Jesus, and the real life, because we have a fairy tale, preaching all these fairy tales things. Oh, God want everybody to be a millionaire, and God wants you to be a billionaire, and everything going to go. Oh, my. I don't even turn on to that stuff anymore. I don't even look at it. Because it's very deceiving.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care if they don't like it. Don't bother me you don't like me when I tell the truth. Don't bother me. I don't lose no sleep over that. I pray for people.
Amen.
I ask people if I hurt them, if I did something, forgive me. But I don't lose no sleep over that because you don't like me. A lot of people didn't like John the Baptist and Jesus. So I'm not living to be liked. I'm living to be heard that the gospel of Christ is the hope of salvation and love all flesh and love all people. Because if I can't take being rejected for the gospel's sake and from the word of God, I had to get out of the business. That's why a lot of people are hiding. They don't want to be a minister. They hide under the cover. No, I'm not me. Mm-mm. Well, how long are you going to hide and can you hide?
Amen.
I mean, how fast can you run?
Can you
outrun God?
No.
You know, because you don't want to be attacked. You don't want to be called a liar. You don't want to make a mistake, so I ain't going to do it. So you're making the bigger mistake. The biggest mistake is not obey the life and the call of God. That's the biggest mistake. Not the thing that you want to. That's the biggest mistake. I want to be like everybody else. God ain't calling you to be like nobody else.
Amen.
God is not choosing you to be like nobody else. And you are not going to be free from making a mistake. I don't care if you live 300 years, you're not going to be free from making. It's the intent of your heart.
Yeah.
It's the intent of your heart that God looks at. Now, people look at your mistakes. God looks at the intent of your heart. Well, you said, well, I tell you what, I'm not just going to do it because I might make a mistake. Okay, let me say this.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to read the scriptures here. We got to read the scriptures here because people think that we're making up a bunch of stuff. So, you know, we got to read the scriptures. Maybe, you're making up all this stuff out of your own mind. Well, well, I'm going to read you something here. Sister, what you get in Revelation 5, right quick, because time be gone so quick. Revelation 5, verse 9 to 12. Revelation chapter 5, beginning at verse 8 to 12.
Amen. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and four and 20 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them hearts and golden vials full of oars, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. And thou was slain and has redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And behold, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Thank you, Jesus. And every creature, which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as were in the sea, and all that are in them heard, I sing blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the four
Amen. I'll go along with y'all there. I'll say amen too. I include my amen. Can we say amen?
Amen. Amen. And the four and 20 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever.
The Lamb.
Amen.
The Lamb.
Yes.
That was
the Lamb.
The Lamb gave his life, his blood, the atonement. And you notice a lot of people don't understand that the gospel, the good news, and the hope of deliverance is based on what we see right there from heaven, prophecy, and revelation. The Lamb slain.
Yeah.
You know, the Lamb was slain, the perfect Lamb, the sinless Lamb, was slain, and this plan was in the heart and the mind of God before the world, before Adam was even created. This was in the plan of God before Adam even came into existence. So he had this plan and purpose already in his mind and heart, how he's going to redeem man, because nothing is hidden from him. We even created man. And so this plan of redemption and reconciliation, let me show you something here that we're going to need in the last days, because the power of darkness, Antichrist, is moving on the earth to deceive all flesh. We had better understand the power of the blood and resurrection of the Lamb. This is going to be the key. This is going to be key how we're not going to be deceived.
Yes.
John the Baptist, when he came to introduce Jesus Christ, the Messiah, to Israel, he says, "Behold the Lamb." And his message was to all of Israel, to all of religious sect, John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God." It's the right message for the right time, the right people, right season, the season. "Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin curse of Adam." Now, he was talking about the curse of Adam. Now, most people think he was just talking about their sins. But the problem was so much their sin, it was their sin nature. See, we think it's about our sin. It's about your nature you inherit from Adam. What was the nature you inherit from Adam? All flesh. The curse, sin, nature would separate you from God. You inherit that. Your nature is corrupt. Why? Because your nature is corrupt. And your blood is corrupt. That's why you couldn't die for your own self, because your blood and your nature is corrupt. That's why no one on the earth was worthy to die, because their very nature, because all of Adam's children, all that came out of Adam was under the sin curse, Romans 5. They inherit the sin corrupt. That means your blood, my blood, and my sperm is corrupting myself. No good person can redeem themselves. Not even the prophets could lay down their life. Not even angels could not come. You can read in that why the angels could not come. They couldn't find anybody. They looked heaven and earth under the sea, and they couldn't find anyone. They looked to the angels, and no angel could come down here and die for us. Fuck, angels are spirits. Listen, no one was found. The Bible said not one in heaven and the earth and under the earth and the sea, nowhere, no place, no one. Call up Allah and Muhammad and whoever they want to call on. No one was qualified. Only one. He did not have the corrupt blood, the sinful blood. Why do you think that nobody was worthy? No one was worthy. No one qualified. That's why Jesus was not born from the Adams. Romans 5, Romans 3, nobody could. It had to be a bloodline that had no sin and no corrupt nature. No cursed, sinful nature, which was condemned when Adam sinned. That means everybody born was under sin. Make no difference whether you sin or your own commit sin. You will have a sinful cursed nature, because that nature that Adam said inherit death. What did that nature mean? Spiritual death. So nobody in this human family could die. That's why Jesus had to be conceived by the Holy Spirit. I don't care what no Muslims say. I don't care what that Muslim say. He could not come through Adam. He could not come out of corrupt blood. When we have children, we have a corrupt blood, bloodline from Adam. Our nature, our blood is corrupt. Now here, now listen to this in the Old Testament. People wonder, I asked a Muslim one time, I went to the auto show, and I say, so a bunch of Muslims had their little tent, the little thing down there. And so I stopped to talk to the Muslim, and I said, do you know why in the Old Testament, why there was so much blood shed? Tell me the reason. Because they say they believe the Old Testament. The Muslims say, well, we believe Abraham. I said, could you tell me why Abraham took his son up there and put him on the altar to kill him? Well, I said, well, no. I know you all believe the Old Testament. You believe you're Abraham's children. Okay. Why was Abraham commanded of the living God, Yah, go take your son and offer him up as a blood sacrifice? Now, I said, why was that so? Why did Moses and all of them shedding every year they had to take a lamb and shed his blood? Because they say Muhammad and Allah is going to get them in. I said, and you And they said they believe they're the children of Abraham, the Muslim do, Ismail. I said, well, why do you think that Abraham had offered sacrifice? Why did Abraham have to offer sacrifice? Why did Joshua? Why did David? All of them had to take a lamb's slaughter. Why did the children of Israel was not delivered from death until they had the blood on the doorpost? I asked them, why was that necessary?
Mm-hmm.
It was the blood.
Yeah. Amen.
And they said, well, I said, no, it's no well. Why was he commanded to offer up his son as a sin sacrifice? I said, don't you know? No. It was a type, a shadow, a symbol that nobody on the earth in Adam could be redeemed without that perfect sacrifice that was coming. Don't you? Well, you know, we are. No, there's no nothing. Why was there blood from the, why did, from Abel, from the beginning of the fall, Abel had to offer a sacrifice. Why was Cain's sacrifice rejected? Because he didn't offer what was required.
Amen.
Why did God reject Cain? Because Cain wanted to offer what he wanted to offer to God to be right.
Mm.
Just like people today, they want to offer God what they want to be right, to be redeemed.
Mm.
They offer their own goodness, their own intellect. Well, but Abel offered to the Most High God, he was approved. That's what it says. We understand that Abel and Cain was rejected because he didn't offer thing that was acceptable. Now listen. In the Old Testament, from the beginning of the fall of man, there was sacrifice, a blood sacrifice in everything they had to do to be accepted. Every time an event came, they had to go back and make a sacrifice and build an altar. Notice that all through the week they had to build an altar. They had to offer something. All the way through, it was required. It was required from Abel all the way. It's required a sacrifice. Three important people in the Old Testament connected was these three people. Those were the three most people in the order of consecration, because they the one was chosen and consecrated. Who out of these three people? The prophet, the high priest, and the priest. Who was more important? The most important person was the high priest. Why? Because the high priest was the only one chosen and consecrated to offer the blood sacrifice of the lamb once a year. Nobody could do it. The prophets couldn't do it. The priests couldn't offer. The high priest could go behind the veil and sprinkle the blood.
Yeah.
So that means he was the most important person in all of Israel, because his calling, his consecration as a high priest once a year for the sins of the nation, he had to go behind the veil. He was the only one able to go behind the veil where the glory of God was in the temple. So when the temple torn down, that means they had no connection with God. Whenever Israel temple, because the presence of God was in the temple, and the blood had to be offered in the temple. So when the nation come and overthrew them, they couldn't worship God anymore. There's no worship because they had no blood sacrifice, no priest. So they were messed up.
Yeah.
They was messed up with the temple, the presence. Because everything was based on the atonement. Therefore, the most important person in the, everybody had their place in part. Not the prophet, not the priest, not the Sanhedrin council, but the high priest. Jesus is our high priest now. Perfect high priest. See, the high priest had the consecrated order to go behind the veil where the presence and the glory of God in the temple. He was the only one could do it. So it makes him the most important person. Connection with the Most High God. He had to offer a perfect lamb sacrifice once a year to cover the sins of the whole nation. He couldn't get rid of the sin. He only could cover. In the Old Testament, God could not see our sins when he see the blood. When he offered the blood, he would not see the sins of Israel for a whole year. He would not. When he see the blood, then he could. Then what? He didn't. He couldn't destroy them. He couldn't destroy them because he saw the blood.
Yeah.
You see the blood? Do we see the blood. Blood, the power of the atonement?
Mm-hmm.
You see, it's the blood.
Thank
all the way
Jesus.
Through the blood. It's concerning a covenant. Three things are important. What? The promise. The promise. The Bible consists of everything in the Bible consists of a seed, a promise, and a covenant. The seed, the promise, and the covenant. Now, the seed was promised to Adam that a deliverer was coming. The promise was a deliverance is coming. The seed was it had to be a perfect, pure bloodline. It couldn't come from one place but a perfect bloodline. That's why the devil wanted to kill the deliverer, because he knew the deliverer
mm-hmm.
was coming, the redeemer was coming. He knew about it from the beginning. But he didn't know but he knew that he was coming. The promise, why? Because of the promise. The promise is connected to a covenant. The covenant is about blood.
Yeah.
It's about an agreement that the testimony was about blood, sacrifice. So promise was a deliverer is coming.
Yeah.
And when the deliverer comes, he will seal the promise with a covenant called blood sacrifice. No promise can be fulfilled without the blood. No promise of God is always based on a covenant of blood sacrifice. Everything in the Bible is a promise, a seed, and a covenant. How did Lord God seal it? With an offering of a blood sacrifice. Because without the shedding of the blood, there cannot be no remission of sin.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it makes no difference what people believe or what they think. The Bible said without the shedding of his blood, there is no remission, no redemption, no reconciliation. You can't stand in the presence of God without the blood sacrifice because you're unacceptable. That's why you said only the blood of the Lamb slain. So let's understand why the blood is so important, the power of the blood, why Satan don't want people to talk about the atonement, the blood, the Lamb. Our redemption. Our reconciliation and recovery is based to the promise. A promised seed is coming. Now, why could not anyone just die? Why couldn't any good person, prophet, or any of them could die? Muhammad, he's a prophet. He could redeem people. Or Buddha, they could. Couldn't they redeem? I mean, Moses couldn't even die. Daniel couldn't die. Why did John the Baptist say, I'm not the one. I'm not the one, Brad. I'm not the one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a voice crying. I'm not the one. I'm just a voice crying.
Yes.
I can't get it done. I can point you to one.
Yes.
I can
make
point
it clear.
You to the
Amen.
One.
Make it clear.
And we can point you people to the one. Because the promise is based on the covenant. The covenant. All the promises of God is based on a covenant of agreement. Everything is a promise and a covenant. And I made a covenant with Abraham, a covenant. I made a covenant with the children of Israel concerning circumcision. I made a covenant, and he sealed it always with blood, pure blood, the atonement. That's why the high priest is the most important person in the Bible. I know people say, all of this, I said, no. If there was no high priest to offer the sacrifice, brother, we out of it. If there's no one to make atonement, we can't do. There is no Jesus who is the Lamb slain, risen. Forget about it. Forget about it. Okay. All right, I'll leave you all time up there. First, I don't want to give you a few minutes. I don't want to take I did leave you all a few minutes.
Yeah, we got 15 minutes.
Yeah, man, shout hallelujah. I left you 15 minutes. You can't get no good enough. Goodness gracious. Okay, who want to use their minutes now? Because if you don't, I'll sure enough jump in there now if you don't want to use it.
Oh, you're making it clear. You're making it plain and clear. And I thank and I praise the Lord for the blood, for the shedded blood, because I tell you, that shedded blood, it covers so much and so many things. And I just thank and I praise the Lord for because that shedded blood, I'm telling you, that we might be delivered, that we might be healed through that blood. I thank and I praise the Lord that scripture comes to my mind that through the blood that I, as a female, and I'm not talking about the priesthood authority, but I, as a female, have the authority that I can command that devil to get off, to step back because of the blood. And
yeah.
I just thank and I praise
yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
And I thank him for the word that is coming forth, because I'm telling you, it was like breaking up solid ground, making it plain and making it clear. And I just thank and I praise the Lord.
Yes.
Because, you know, I go by
yes.
what the scripture said, and I tell the Lord,
yeah.
you know, about the word and those 39 stripes. And I just thank and I praise the Lord, because I said each
Amen.
Stripe,
Amen.
Each stripe is for one major disease that I'm
Amen.
Delivered from. I do not have to receive.
You are a blood
and not
child.
Only am I delivered from
child.
My sins, but delivered from sin, sicknesses, and
yeah.
diseases. And through
yeah.
that blood. And I just thank
Listen.
And I praise the
Listen.
Lord.
Every
and I was
child,
just said, I
blood,
thank
blood,
God,
blood.
Make it plain. Make it plain and clear because of the blood. Because of the blood, that devil cannot cross the bloodline. And I thank and I
yes,
praise the Lord for it, that he shedded it for me. Because, you know, I remember in the word said, because of that shedded blood and because of that testimony. And I stand on my testimony because I tell you, I confess with my mouth, that the Lord Jesus, and I believe and know in my heart that the Lord Jesus Christ, that he lived, he suffered, he died, and that he rose again. He rose again,
thank
and
you,
I
Lord.
Thank and I praise the Lord for it. Thank you, Jesus.
The atonement.
Mm. Yes.
The Passover
thank you,
atonement is the most important message. Part of the message, the most important part of the message. Now, you can take the blood and the atonement out of the Bible. What will you have? Now, if you don't believe that, just omit the atonement or the sacrifice of the lamb and just say, okay, we're going to take this part out of the Bible like the Muslims do and the Buddhists do. We're going to remove that the lamb slain from the foundation. We're going to move that from the Bible. So we're going to accept all the rest of the other stuff in here. We're going to remove. Do you know what the Bible says? Jesus said to the Jews, verse John, I think, 5:39. He said, search the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
In them you think you have eternal life. But they are they which testify of me. Not them. All the scriptures must testify of me.
Mm-hmm.
So the Jews said, oh, blasphemy. He's speaking blasphemy and all that kind of stuff. He thinks he's the Son of God. They are they.
My Lord.
Everything must point to the Messiah. Because
yes,
he is the covenant one. He's the only one set, redeemed, and sinless because all of our blood. When you go to the, you know why our blood, we have children, we produce Adam because our seed is still corrupt. That's why we have to be redeemed.
Yes,
it makes
Lord.
No difference. The blood and the word are synonymous. The word and the blood, because the word became flesh.
Yes.
See, the word became flesh, made human. Why? To redeem us. The word had to be preached. That the redemption, the reconciliation, the recovery, the justification is by one man and one high priest who entered into the heavens, who sprinkled the books. When Jesus went to heaven, he had to sprinkle the books. Most people don't know that he shed his blood, but when he got into heaven as a high priest, he had to sprinkle the blood over the books that were against us. He wasn't through. He went to heaven as a high priest, the perfect high priest, who entered into the holy place and sprinkled the blood in heaven for all those things that were against us. That means we can be perfected by the blood. We can be cleansed. We can be accepted. We are justified by faith in the blood and the redemption of Christ, being reconciled to God.
Yes,
no way anybody can be reconciled to God. No way. This is why the message of the atonement in the Passover is put on the shelf. And the devil don't want to hear about it, that he that Jesus purchased us from the judgment of God and the justice of God He purchased us with his own sacrifice.
Yes, Lord.
That's the greatest love.
Yes, it is. Yes, it
is. That's why he said Jesus did not have to come. He could have said no.
Mm-hmm.
But he chose to obey and said, I'll go. Remember in heaven? I'll go. And Psalms,
mm-hmm.
I'll go. Mm. I choose to go. That was the love of God's talk.
Yes.
Here's
the
blood, the atonement is so powerful that demons
yes,
and devils, when you approach demons and devils and they see the blood, they see the blood redemption in you, they will say, I know
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm.
I know you.
Yes, thank you, Jesus.
All the demons, when Jesus cast out demons, they all knew him. They knew what it meant.
Mm-hmm.
They knew immediately. They didn't know Buddha and Hindu and all these other gods in the earth. They may be good people. They're just blind. They're good people. They're just blind. The people in Russia who under that government. So as we close, that covenant is for the blind, for the ignorant, that never heard, never known, because we all were ignorant and deceived.
Yes.
But when we heard the glorious, heard the glorious news, that he took our place,
mm-hmm.
took our judgment, took our sins, took our penalty, tasted of death, and he tasted, when he said tasted of death, he's not talking about just physical death. Now, most people, they think that Jesus just on died. When they say he died, they're talking about physical death only. But the scripture says the death that we were going to die was both spiritually, physically, and eternal. Do you know that when he said die, it was threefold? It was not, he's physical. No. We're going to, Adam died first immediately spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
Then physical death starts, was gradual. But the last death was the eternal death.
Mm-hmm.
He suffered it all. That's why he cried out, Father, Father, why hast thou forsaken me?
Because
that must not happen. When the human base go, they're going to feel their separation. And so I don't want to go there. I want to go and say, well done. Because I see the blood of redemption and reconciliation. Now, the blood has the power to heal. The blood has the power through the word, cast out devils and cause miracles through faith. That's why everything based is faith and a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
Without faith in that covenant blood and resurrection, you can't please God because you can't come and be accepted of God. You can't be accepted. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. All right, then we come to the end of our, 14 and a half minutes, brother?
We got about close to 6 minutes left.
Oh, 6 minutes. Oh, no, we ain't going to let no 6 minutes pass. Oh, no, we done paid the price. No way we're going to get them 6 minutes. You have something you want to say, Brother Nate? I ain't going to leave you out, brother.
Well, you know, I'm just grateful for the giving of the word, and I am grateful for, and I've said this many times, and I mean it, I'm humbled that we have this opportunity to give the gospel, to give the message of the Lord Jesus Christ to those who are listening. And I've said it before that, you know, hey, you don't know how much longer we'll have on this air, and we need to take advantage of the time that we do have, because we are heading to the time now that the true preaching of the gospel is going to be, quote, prohibited to be given on these airwaves, on the TV, the radio, you name it. And for those of you who said, I don't think so, you know, brother, I want to say this as I end this. You know, I see some Christians, they're quick to say, I don't believe here in America. I don't believe it's going to hit America. You know, they look at other countries and the things they have over there, but their response is, I don't think it's going to be like this in America. Well, I can see from the type of mind why we think that way. I can see why we think that way. But I have news for all of you that is listening. Get ready. That's what I say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Get ready.
Yeah.
Get ready. Get prepared.
Yeah.
Because whether you believe it or not, they're up there at the Supreme Court
and they working on some kind of rules to come against what you tell it. So get ready. Amen.
There now, and a lot of specialists are working hidden behind the cover to bring forth laws, like Daniel says. Daniel says, and Isaiah said about it, they're going to try to block the hindrance of the pure gospel. Now, this lesson.
Amen.
Many people don't want to believe the angel message, the Elijah that's coming in this day. The angel would tell them Elijah's coming. I want you to turn to message 88 just so we go up about the radio. Message 88. And they try to say, oh, the message, this message, the angel message, Elijah's coming. Y'all talking about Elijah is coming in this last days and bringing a message, the final call. Let's see what 88 message in verse 3 say, I think it is. 88 in verse 2 and 3. This angel have been coming. How do we discern whether it's of God or not? I'm going to give you one of the reasons, one of the proofs that this angel message that comes today, the Elias, that they bring the angel's gospel message in this last days. What is that, 88 and verse 2 and 3?
Mm-hmm. 88 message. Verse. Go ahead, sister.
Go ahead.
Okay, verse 2. Behold, I come to fulfill the word spoken by the prophets of old and by the Christ. I am the prophet of the highest. I speak his will. I represent the Lord. I am his servant. All ye that follow after my fellow servant, many are called. Those that prepare are chosen. Be ye faithful. Others will come as you keep sacred the work and truth to the plan and the workings of God. Praise the Lord in worship. Lift up and rejoice. Bask in his life-giving light. I bear witness of that light. The earth is lightened by the words I bring. I come to moderate the will of God. I proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Only through his atoning blood can mankind be saved.
That, do you get that? Only, he says.
Only.
Now, no devil, no demon can say that and will say that.
Mm-mm.
This is one of the verification proof that this angel said. He telling us the message of Christ. Only.
Only.
You know what he said? Only through the atoning blood of Christ can what?
Can mankind be saved?
And he says in the 87th message, he repeated that, and he comes right back in the 88th message and reiterates so as to understand the power of redemption and reconciliation. Only
mm-hmm.
through his blood and his resurrection do we have hope. The resurrection is the only sign of you have eternal hope. It's the blood and the resurrection.
Yeah.
Without the resurrection, we don't have hope, eternal life. So the resurrection, both of them, you can't, oh, no, but he didn't get up, he didn't get up. The Muslims say, the Buddhists say, the Hindus say, he didn't get up. Okay. Well, okay. Okay. Well, we want to say we love you in every part of the world. We're praying for Ukraine and Russia and all the honest and hard nations, because the downfall of nations is coming. The downfall must come. All nations must fall because the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord, is at hand. It's the day of the kingdom of our Lord. We love you.
Yes.
We pray for you. You can call on Jesus now and say, come save, deliver me. Lord, be my deliverer, my savior. He will come even now. We
Amen.
Love you.
Yes.
And this is Brother Lee, Christian Christ, with the Elijah message. And Sister Anderson and our dear brother, Nathaniel Hunt. From Durant, he's come on the radio. He's the mighty voice crying in the wilderness. Let's get behind the man of God. He's taking piece by piece and line about and bringing the bread of life to all nations. So, Brother Nate, continue on.
Yes.
Amen,
Amen.
Brother. And thank God for all of you. Thank you. God bless you, Mr. Anderson. God bless you, Brother Lee. And to all of you that are listening, may God bless you. May he keep you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.
God bless you.
God bless.